The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, I'm not sure if you heard of this terminology, this phrase, the male friendship recession. Apparently, we're all undergoing it as a society. It was kind of penned by researchers in the States initially. But what it reflects is the fact that there's been, since 1990, a five-fold increase in the number of men who say that they do not have any close friends. So Shane and Kira spoke about this, spoke about it very interestingly on News Talk Breakfast this morning, and they were inundated by many men getting in touch, agreeing with the sentiment of this survey and agreeing with that description, a male friendship recession. One of those who got in touch, John, is on the line with me now. John, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder, and thanks a million for taking the time to speak to us. What was it this morning that made you reach out? What was it about this story that resonated with you?
Thanks for having me on, Kieran. I didn't think when I was texting in this morning to be on the radio this evening, so I hope I get my point across okay. But I think that for a lot of, I suppose, look, I'm just a man, Kieran. I'm nothing special in the world or anything like that. I'm just a regular working Joe. But I guess there's a feeling sometimes that there's no place in the world for you. You know, and it seems to be that the people that you would have been shoulder to shoulder with, maybe in the pub on a Saturday night or at a football match or something, they seem to be in the same boat as well, whereby I think your whole life seems to be taken up with everything other than just time for each other and someone to have, you know. I think in the world at the minute we have an awful lot of pals and not really the deep friendships anymore. I think that's what it is, you know.
That's interesting. So it's not that you've got kind of nobody in your social circle, John. You do, it sounds like, but they're just not close friends. Is that it?
No, well, yeah. Like, I suppose, you see, we live in a kind of transient world now, like where people move. I mean, one time, I suppose, maybe leaving the parish and moving to the next parish was considered, you know, maybe a big step. But now we have people from parts of West Kerry living in parts of Belfast and back and forth in that kind of way. So I suppose they're uprooted. They move to places where they don't have that lifelong build up of people about them that they had from up until they were teenagers or early 20s, you know. So that those close connections that you would have had with people that you have, what I would call them my people, whereby you may not know them, but you have something in common with them.
Yeah.
In your own place. That seems to be gone, you know. And we can be surrounded with people, surrounded with things, and live very lonely lives, you know.
I wonder, is it something that maybe we just didn't have to work on in this country for a long time, for the reasons you just suggest, that, you know, a lot of us were kind of pulled back to where we came from, and the lads we grew up with were there. The lads you're friends with since you were kind of knee-high to a grasshopper, you were in school with, the fellas you got into trouble with and got out of trouble and avoided trouble with and got away with things with, they were all there. And, you know, if you find yourself in a situation where they're not there, it's hard to kind of start from scratch.
Yeah, I think that's the root of it myself, you know, because there also seems to be other things in particular for that affect men as well, Kieran. You know, obviously, you know, moving away from your people and people you grew up with is a big thing, you know, especially, you know, if it's later in life. But we have so much other things that have come into the men's world at the minute. Like I said, I'm just a guy. I go to work. I move machinery and I do a lot of hours and stuff like that. But it seems now like as if that's not nearly good enough.
Mm.
You know, I used to say at home there sometimes that, you know, it seems now like they want a fella who'll go chop down trees all day long and put up a bit of scaffolding and put out a fire and then, you know, mind the children and you know, maybe help volunteer at the orphanage at the weekend. You know, you seem to have to be able to cover all these things and defend a home and bring in money. And it's like as if, you know, everything has come in. Maybe it's a social media age or something, you know, that all these things have come in our lives. And I think it's making it harder to just be a man, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
And kind of swirling around all that is, you know, when people talk about toxic masculinity.
Yeah,
you know,
I didn't want to say it, Kieran, because I nearly swore there, but I hate it because...
You hate when people talk, you hate the phrase.
Yes, like, technically speaking, you'd probably say, hey, listen, John, you're a toxic masculine man because I probably tick every box in the toxic thing. But my only problem is that, okay, like, it seems like I was locked in my bedroom in 2020, and when I was let out of it in 2023 or 2022, the whole world seemed to have just changed all of a sudden, you know? And, you know, toxic masculinity seems to be all this thing. And, you know, most men aren't like that. Most men are married to good women and in good relationships with good families, the very, very, very vast majority of them, and we're lucky, you know? Fellas like me are just a bit slow to get there, you know? Things that change too quickly, they kind of, I feel like I get left behind. But, it takes me a while to come around. I know my kids think, God, Dad, you are a dinosaur, you know, because, you know, maybe I say the wrong thing, or maybe I actually don't even understand what the hell they're talking about, you know. But, you know, and all those things, and all of a sudden, you find yourself surrounded by people and you feel very much like, oh my God, I am just like not going out here. I am, what's wrong with me? Like,
yeah. You know, do you feel like that in actual company, or is that kind of an online thing?
No, no. You can, I feel like that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. You can be lonely in your, I don't want to say lonely in your own home, but you can be, yeah. Yeah.
And
you see, all this here stems from the friendship thing. When you are surrounded with your people, with your friends, with people you grew up with, like, I don't want to sit down with any man and face to face and say, listen, Barry, you know what, here, and shed a tear. I don't want that. And, you know, but I do like to stand shoulder to shoulder at a football match and, you know, sit at the bar maybe of the odd Saturday night when we used to do that. It seems to be gone too. But, and after a while, you begin to realize, oh, no, sure, look, there's a lot of us in the same boat here. And then you, without maybe even saying anything at all, you just realize, hey, look, we're all in the same boat here. Now, look, if we soldier on, we'll be fine. And all that seems to be gone, you know?
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Listen, stay on the line, John. Don't go anywhere, because Dermot Ling is with us as well, the owner of Wild Irish Retreats, former Wexford hurler as well. Dermot, it's good to talk to you, as always. I know you were listening to what John was saying there as well. What struck you?
Many things struck me, Kieran, but there is one particular part at the end that definitely did as well, like that there is, we're getting this a lot, definitely, particularly with the men's retreats and the stags that I'd be running, that there's men coming, and that's the most common feeling that people come away with, is that they come in with this almost like a shame or a tension that they're carrying from their home life or from the responsibilities or from society labeling them as toxic masculine, you know, for just being themselves, as John was talking about. But I definitely feel that once they get that opportunity to share, and I really want to make a distinction that I think keeps getting brought up. It's brought up to me an awful lot in my work as well, where men will say, you know, as John said, I don't want to shed a tear. You know, I don't want to sit in front of another man and shed a tear. Like, that's not the obligation. That's not the question. That's not what we're dealing with here at all. Like, it's the ability to hold your story. It's the ability to tell your story. Like, whatever's happening for you, that you tell that story. Now, one of the things that happens, and I see this with GA teams all the time, you ask the biggest, strongest fella in the room, you know, how are you? And it's really, we don't need to break it down. You don't need to be a master in facilitation. You don't need to master of anything. You just need to care. And you ask somebody, how are you? You need to shut up and you need to listen for a little while to see how are you. And at the start, they might, you know, go through the weather and they go through the full forward and they go through what's happening in Barcelona, and that's all fine. And then they start getting into who they are and how they are. And then they start really speaking. And the fellas who always blow me away are the ones who you think, I'm intimidated by them almost, by their presence. But as soon as you ask them, and as soon as things fall silent, and as soon as you start to listen to them, they're the first ones to go. And maybe they do shed a tear. Maybe they do, but that's not what they're doing. They're not talking about their feelings. They're not explaining how they feel about things. Mm. They're just telling their story. And I think if we're in situations where you get an opportunity to tell your story and somebody's willing to listen, I mean, they say that, you know, like I think, and nothing will convince me otherwise at this stage, one of the great medicines is to be witnessed by somebody, just to be listened to by somebody, to be heard, to be, you know, to see that you fucking, that you, to remind yourself that you exist, like, because there are a lot of people in this feeling of loneliness. That's what it is. It's this forgetting that you're worthwhile, that you have a reason and you have a purpose, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's a huge part of it. And I do think that that shared, I would take John on to the next step. And I would say that, okay, what, like, other fellas are going through it. Other fellas are experiencing the same thing, but it is important to ask the next question is, okay, well, what do we do? You know, you can be in these struggles, but it's what do we do? And the more people you talk to, or the more people who are progressing through that question, they'll say, well, you know, I've been to this fella, or I've gone to this thing, or I've tried this out, you know, I've gone to a retreat, I've gone to Nature of Man, I've gone to something, and I actually, you know, I got some medicine for myself. I learned some things I needed to know. And once we start sharing that medicine a little bit more with each other, then more and more people do it. Like, you do have, call it what you want, an opportunity or a responsibility, but you have an opportunity to heal some of the malaise that sits in the depths of the soul as well. You know, that is a possibility for us.
How important is it, though, Gizzy, that you do have people who are, as you say, kind of willing to bear witness to someone's story? That, like, you know, when I ask somebody in the room how they're getting on, I'll be honest with you, I'm this is being brutally honest, I am not there to bear witness to their story. I want to kind of, oh yeah, I'm grand. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, I mean, I'm not saying that to be dismissive of anything you say, but I'm saying that in a kind of a deprecate, self-deprecating way. Like, I recognize that's a fault in myself, but it is still accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose it bears out. I mean, you might be a lucky soul who goes through life and you have a good job and the kids are healthy and the wife is happy and everything is rosy in the world of Kieran Cudahy. And then until something goes wrong and something happens and we're surrounded in a world of people who are maybe following a more individualized path, you're not taking part in, you know, mehels and things that we used to do that were quite, you know.
No, but I suppose what I meant by the question was not that I'm fine and don't ask me. It was more that how much of a problem is that there's a lack of people who, when they ask the question, how are you, that they really want to know the answer, put it that way. You know, and how many people are like me who are just kind of asking it and they don't really want to know?
I mean, how do I answer the question? I mean, I don't know is the answer to how many people. I know for me, all I could speak about is that when I'm in the company of somebody who doesn't care about, you know, they ask me how I am and they don't care, or they're not listening to what's being said. They're maybe off in their own story or whatever. It's not somebody who I'm certainly not going to go into battle with them. I'm not going to bat for them. I'm not going to, you know, there's not much nourishment that's going to come from the conversation. I think it's more to do with your close personal friends, Kieran. I think it's not that I'm going around that I want everybody, when you ask them how they are in the street, I want them to tell him how they are. I mean, geez, I'd be wrecked. But I do need to know that I have, you know, very lucky, I feel, to have a few good men who'll say, you know, how are you? They'll ring up and they'll ask, how are you? And some of those, Kieran, and it's a really important point, some of those fellas are, and it's really important to remember that there is magic in the world as well, that they'll think of me in some situation and they'll ring me. And I have, like, I have one particular friend, Rory McKiernan, who'll ring me. And every time he rings me, it's a time where I'm like, geez, I really need someone. And all of a sudden he comes in and he's somebody who trades on and responds to that intuitive aspect of himself. And I think it's just to have some people who, okay, we can chat about the centre forward. No, okay, we can chat about, you know, how many steps DJ Carey took in 1993.
Ah, stop. I knew it just that's, every time.
That's, you know, that's fine. But we have to be able to, we have to be able to get beyond it. And I think it's also good to get, you know, how can we build situations that it's not that we're going and sitting down for a coffee and we're going to stare into each other's eyes and figure it out. It's like, can we get out, you know, can we go outside for a puck? Can we go out and fix something? Can we go out and build something? Can we go out and do something where that pressure is taken off of eye-to-eye contact? I think that that's really what we're looking for, is more, shared spaces where we can do that, and it's not so common, you know.
John, have you anyone in your life you could do that with now?
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, when the question was asked this morning, and I actually think to myself, you know, I have three friends, you know, I have three friends, and one is my brother. And, you know, again, because we live in different parts of the world, you know, I meet them maybe twice in the year, you know, and we're not the kind that would phone up each other for chats, you know, it'd be a case of phone up and say, oh, look, I've had Adam there for the weekend or, you know, whatever. And you do miss that. But there's, I think a part of it, in the world we live in now where so much is going on and there's so much complexity, the simplest thing, like most men are simple creatures, you know, they want to go to work, they want to get home. Every now and then maybe you need a pat on the back to say, geez, you get a good job there, you know, or, you know, good man yourself, off you go, same again tomorrow in your home life and, you know, able to just get out to do man stuff, if that makes any sense, you know, without being castigated for it. You know, those type of things really make a huge difference, because for the most part, like, I mean, when you were saying earlier about, you know, who wants to, when you ask somebody how are they, you know, the answer to who wants to find out is, or who wants to deal with that, the answer is absolutely nobody. You know, anybody that asks you how you are, they do not want to hear, oh, well, wait till I tell you what happened to me today. They don't want to hear that, like, you know. You know, it's just a kind of a throwaway remark. Now, you'll know the times when you are maybe having a private discussion and your buddy says, listen, what's going on? And then you can kind of say, look, I'm finding this tough, you know. And then after a while you realise, geez, the exact same thing's happened to him. And then you realise again, okay, I can soldier on with this, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, but the world is becoming it's a very lonely place, and I feel so sorry for a lot of men, because they're finding alternative ways out of this here, and I just think that the answer to it is a lot simpler than a lot of the complex. I think Gizzy there has it fairly nailed down, you know, that it is just a case of very often just hanging out and chit-chatting, like, you know. And being part of spaces where there are men, where you realise just this world still does exist.
Yeah,
you know that. You know, you don't have to be all things to everyone. You just have to be all things to the people at home. You know,
there's a lot of love for you on the text line, John. Huge amounts of people supportive of what you've had to say, and supportive of you for saying it. I can see myself and. What John says, but I could never say it myself. Great guest, Kieran, says, Mark, John is brilliant, absolute nail on the head, says somebody else. That's just a flavour of them coming in. We'd be here till 7 o'clock and off the ball would be given out to me if I were to read them all, John. So listen, thanks a million for chatting to us. I really, really mean it. It's such an important conversation.
Thank you. Well, look, I won't be telling anyone that I was chatting to a Wexford man and a Kilkenny man for 5 years.
Well, hey, sorry, John, do you know why he's so sore about those steps? Because he's living in Kilkenny now, and it's more and more of an open wound for that fella.
DJ took another step too far. He'd be more worried about the 1993.
Well, anyway, there's a court case pending there. We better say more about that. We'll just stick to the steps of the field. John, listen, thanks a million for joining us. Gizzy, it's all good to talk to you as always as well. Dermot Ling, former Wexford hurler and owner of Wild Irish Retreats. Being an Irish man in the 21st century is winning the lottery of life. Be proud of yourself and your country. Put the smartphone down with all its negativity and reconnect with the world. So somebody else, another listener says, I think a lot of people, especially younger people, as they're growing into their late 20s and 30s, they realise that a lot of their so-called friends were actually just drinking buddies or social pals. And as they get older and life gets in the way with all its challenges, those relationships cease to exist because you're not going out partying anymore, or you're not going down to the pub as often as you used to, and you find yourself in your late 20s with nobody around you. Maybe you have a relationship or a family, but outside of that, you can be totally by yourself. 087 1400 106. Thank you for all of those texts. And thank you again to John for sharing his story with us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.